Everybody, this is Dario with AfterBuzz TV. Did you know that TrueCar.com is changing car buying forever? Yes, everyday TrueCar users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Now, some features are not available in all states, but that's okay. In the first 6 months of this year, over 275,000 cars were sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. TrueCar users save an average of $3,221 off of their MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps. First, go to TrueCar.com and find out what people pay for the car you're looking for. Then register at TrueCar.com to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. The third step is so simple. Just print out your TrueCar savings certificate and take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Remember, everyday TrueCar users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Save your time, save money, and never overpay. Visit TrueCar.com today. That's TrueCar.com.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
All right, well, welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us for another AfterBuzz TV After Show for Downton Abbey Series 5, Episode 1. I'm John Comerford, joined in the studio by Tamara Berg.
Hey, everybody.
And Courtney Stewart.
Hello, hello.
Well, it is so good to be back after a far too long hiatus. I also want to mention Marissa Serafini is helping us out in the booth there. Thank you, Marissa.
Hello, everyone. I'm glad to be back.
Ladies, how good is it to be back seeing
the
Granthams and their
so
crew
good.
Back in the
So telly. Excited. I have to tell you, though, that I'm kind of nervous about being back.
Well, it's been so long.
It's,
you know,
it's been a year.
It's been, exactly.
Almost, yeah.
It has.
And for those of you who don't know, we are doing this podcast to coincide with the British version of it, airing September 2014. It will re-air when it comes to America in January 2015. So if you haven't seen the episode already, you may want to wait because we will say spoilers and we won't give you any warning.
Crazy.
All right.
Yes.
So, I thought this episode was very full.
And yes, indeed.
We're covering over 10 storylines. I don't even know where to begin.
Yes.
But I think it's fair to say that quite literally, Julian Fellowes has decided to turn up the heat at Downton.
what they call it.
Exactly. I mean, we start off with, well, let's face it, Lady Edith.
Oh, my.
Me.
Have you been drinking the Downton wine?
No, you guys are
I know we have.
Lady Edith still carrying a torch for Michael Gregson.
Oh, hashtag poor Edith.
Yes, and almost burning down the house.
I know, and killing herself.
Yes, and we also have Violet fanning the flames between Isabel and Lord Merton.
Mm.
And we even have James and Lady Anstruther creating some heat between the sheets.
A little bit.
We even got some fiery rhetoric between Lord Grantham and Miss Bunting. So
yes, we
are full. Okay, we're going to cover all that and more. But where I want to start is with learning about Baxter's ghost. We finally learned.
Yes.
Finally.
I know, because, you know, obviously when she first brought in, she was brought in with the help of Thomas. And the whole reason why he got her the job is because he wanted to lord something over her. And
yes.
We knew. So he's been carrying that for... Oh, I don't know, 2 years.
Right, okay. Are we going to talk about the whole timing thing, or do we want to talk about it
sure,
now?
Sure, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so there's actually some big buzz online about
right.
this. People are talking about the fact that from the beginning of the series in 2010 mm-hmm. to today, we have covered 12 years.
Well, 14 now, because we're in 2024. Yeah.
Right, well, it started in
1924, excuse me. It started in 1910, isn't that what you just said? So that's 14 years.
No, we started 2010, is what I said.
Oh, got you. I see what you're saying.
So the series has covered 12 years.
Right.
And some of the characters have shown a little bit of aging, like Cora, for example. She's
yes.
shown a little bit of aging.
She
Other
does.
Characters, Carson looks better than he did 12 years ago. And Mary still looks as perfect and pristine as always.
But she carries an air of growth and maturity now.
She does look like she's aged like, 3 or 4 years, which is what she's actually aged. But one of the biggest hubbubs about this is how Isis the dog has not aged
at all.
And that's dog years, too.
That's true.
So. Right, because people are really concerned about them. Not concerned, but they're just pointing out the fact that she was a puppy in the beginning of the series. The series, as we call it in the U.S. And now, 12 years later, she's still popping up from the fireplace just as quickly as ever.
Yeah.
So, anyway, you know, the timing, I think there's a little bit of a challenge last series, the day one was in 1922.
Correct.
And so today we're in 1924.
Correct. That's roughly two
years. It's about 2 years later. Mm-hmm. And
so apparently Thomas has been holding this over
for two years.
And we know Thomas to be a very patient man.
Yes.
Exactly. So it's a little bit of a challenge there with the timing.
But that's okay. But anyway, they made it work. I mean, I went, you have to.
It's called suspension of disbelief, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. I accept
But because I, you know, the reason why I made it work for me in my head is I just want to know what the heck is he's got on.
Thank you. If anything, I was worried about the timing. If we weren't going to find out this episode, I was really upset.
Right.
Because it's been going on. And on and on.
And it's much better to have that issue about, it's been 2 years and I've been stringing it along than not deal with it, because that would have been worse.
Right,
because
that would be terrible for them to go, oh, and anyway, that happened. So let's move on, you know? We want to know.
Okay, so he's been hanging this over her head and you know, he wants the dirt on whomever. And right now it's really directed that Thomas wants to know about what she knows about Bates. And how he can somehow link that to the Green's death.
Because he's just pissed.
He's
pissed isn't the right word. Yeah. He's just annoyed.
He needs a boyfriend. They need him a love interest. He's bored.
Idle minds. So that's what it is. All right, but the whole thing starts out. I love the way it started out with them, because they overhear Bates and Anna talking, you know, of course Thomas is right in on her. So like, hey, come on. Like, it's been 2 years, and all of a sudden now you want to get to. Okay, but anyway, so that works. But one of the things I loved about that was the second time they got back to that storyline when they're on the stairwell. And the way they shot that, which I thought was great, it's just a simple little trick, you know, for the cinematographer to put them on the stairwell. Thomas is in the up position.
Yes.
Literally lording it over her.
Yes.
And, you know, one-upping her and the whole thing. But what I liked at the end of this particular episode, when it doesn't work out for him so much and he's leaving.
Yes.
And he passes by her, and now she's on the stairwell looking down at him.
Yes.
Nice.
You think
structured.
You're so clever,
he says to her. Mm-hmm. He's no longer in the one-up position. I thought, you know, just the way that was done, it was just nice, and it was, you know, why not? If you can do it, you've got a lot of stairways, go ahead.
I mean, they even did the stairwell with Cora confronting him and talking about it, which I appreciated.
Yeah,
Cora had some growth that time.
Yeah.
So
and they were on the same level on that.
Yes.
That was great, too.
Right.
Yeah.
So Baxter's secret is that she's a convicted thief.
Yes.
Right?
Stole jewelry from her former employer.
And we don't know why.
But the thing is we don't know why, and we love to know why.
Right.
Despite
Mosley's, his direction to say, look, don't make sure you don't hold anything back.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. She says, I didn't return it. I didn't have them. And Cora pressures her, and she says,
she doesn't want to make any excuses.
I'm
it doesn't matter.
Say why.
So we still don't know the whole story. And
even
Cora knows there's missing information.
Yes.
So I'm sure that's going to come out later.
Cora came out as a real, like, she is on everybody in this episode.
Yes.
She's like, and so-and-so's doing this and so-and-so's doing that. And I am on to you, lady. I know what, I mean,
even
not in a
bad
way,
but Violet,
that's what I mean.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No one's going on
she's
there.
She's like, hang on a second. I think there's something else going on here.
Mm-hmm. So I also like that, you know, they continue to put Mosley and Baxter together, because that's, you know, the only, you know,
oh,
know.
Poor sad sack.
But yeah, it's like, we're going to have to open up, as we always have said, poor Edith. It's got to also be poor Mosley.
He tried so hard.
I think it's more sad sack Mosley.
Sad sack is much better. Thank you. Sad sack Mosley.
Hashtag sad sack Mosley.
Mopey Mosley or something like that.
Mopey Mosley.
Yeah. Spanish Mosley.
He dyes his hair.
The Latin man.
Tilting it back and forth so she would notice. Yeah. How old are you? How do I look? 52.
I'm 51.
Oh, but I'm only.
Oh, and the poor schmuck. I mean, he ends up not even going. Until you get this hair thing figured out, you're downstairs.
Sad
sack Mosley.
But cool that he's like the heart to figure out, like, help her.
Yeah,
get
it was great though, because he was really, his advice was terrific. Mm-hmm. And the fact that, you know, look, at least you'll be here and you won't have that hanging over you. Right. And if you're not, well, at least you won't be living a lie.
You'll have a clearer conscience.
Yeah, it's great.
So, right, but she doesn't have an entirely
clear
conscience.
No, she didn't quite come clean, did she?
Want to know why, girlfriend.
Which is a nice, I'm glad that Julian did it, because I can't wait.
He satisfied us enough.
That's right.
Keep us wanting
more. I've always said, be stingy with your information.
Absolutely. He's really stingy.
Exactly. But that was a great storyline. I'm anxious to see how they're going to keep that going.
Because,
you know, Thomas is, you know, now he's even more pissed off. And now how is he going to get over on her this time?
Right.
Because he does not like the feeling that he
But did. By really by chance, he was able to redeem himself.
I was angry about that. So I wanted it to last a little longer with Cora, like, really being on to him. Like, I know you're up to no
it's
good.
It's nice when he's on the bubble and you just don't know what's going to happen to him.
And then right away. Back
and the way
it.
She said it, too, she says, you have earned our goodwill. He hasn't earned a damn thing in his life, that guy.
He was up there for shady reasons.
What? He was.
And he's like, oh, I was just checking out the house. You don't check out the house. That's not your job. Mm-hmm. She was just traumatized.
Absolutely, but you have earned our...
Well, let's face it, he did save them.
What? Well, you know, that's true.
But
I mean, if he wasn't up there,
right?
Regardless of why he was up there, who knows what could have happened. So you got to give him
burned
that.
Down.
Yeah, it would have been bad if he hadn't done
that's right.
It would have been bad.
Whatever.
Courtney's still not satisfied with that answer.
I wanted her to be like, thank you so much. But I still got my eye on you.
Wasn't it a great dressing down by Cora, though?
Yes.
Oh, my God. So backfired on him. I just, you know, sorry to use the term again, backfired on him. And, you know, of course, then because of the fire, he's back. Because
she's always so...
Ah, look at you. You wordsmith, you.
Yeah, I know. She went right at him.
She's very, like, mealy all the time. And she finally, like, stood up and said something and was like, I'm not stupid. And then she went right back to...
Yeah.
Not stupid,
but what else? But you know, she also had that nice moment with Lord Grantham when he was, you know, Miss Bunting was saying, "I want to go see the help," or whatever.
Yes.
Do you realize? And she says, "Why is it don't good to answer rudeness with rudeness and stuff like that?"
Exactly.
So, so that's kind of the same feeling I was getting with that.
Well, and that's a very English thing to say.
Yeah.
You know, why answer rudeness with
rudeness?
She's
a
Yank, for goodness sake.
Oh my goodness!
Known for their rudeness, in fact.
All right, well, look, since we have so much to cover, I'm going to move on.
We do.
Right
we have
now.
A ton to cover. Okay.
Right, so
more.
I want to get to the Mary Tony thing and the whole I'm going to start with the 34th anniversary because that's kind of you know, kind of how they've structured this in a sense. You know, they're not even really, you know, celebrating it in any fashion. Lord Grantham doesn't even really remember
he's
it.
Like,
right.
But then he decides, no, okay, sure.
Party.
Yeah, as long as it inspires Tony to have thoughts of marriage.
He's being the matchmaker.
Like, whoa, where did that come in? You know? But it makes sense.
For Tony.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and, you know, let's face it, Mary's still, you know,
thinking, still considering,
trying to help her make her choice. She's having that conversation with Anna.
Yes.
You know, thinking about, you know,
I want to see my merchandise before I buy it.
Questioning the efficacy of aristocratic, courtship. Let's put it that way. How we
right?
Is that fair enough?
I love it.
Can we just jump to that moment?
Yeah, go.
Okay.
So the moment where, you know, actually the fire is burning in the other room and the fire is burning in Mary's room.
Wow.
He shows up, you know, in the middle of the night and says, darling, I think we should be lovers.
Whoa. Did you? Okay, John, when he said that, when he actually said the words, did you just go, what?
I was like, yay! Like, yes, because she had just had that whole conversation with Anna when she was talking about the other lady that was like, she gave us so many details, I thought I was going to faint. But part of her was intrigued.
Sure.
So it was awesome to see her uncomfortable, like, wait, what do you mean? At night, too?
Yeah,
really?
Exactly.
Oh, okay. I kind of
we're going to spend our days talking and our night.
And what are we going to do at night? So she's thinking it, too. It was kind of cool to watch him be that bold.
And I want us to know each other in every way we can.
Yeah.
I also
liked the way after he asked her and the way she answered was, no one can know about
nobody
that.
Can know about
because she knows she wants
because
to.
When other people found out about my other indiscretion several, I don't know, 20 years ago, 12 years ago, in 20, whatever.
Indiscretion. Yeah. So that was an indiscretion. This is a scandalous suggestion. Now, I was like, how did Tony pick up the cues on that? It's like, wait a minute here. Because they only had the one particular scene where they were alone, which is when they're out hunting and, you know, Tom goes away to get the rabbit or whatever the heck it is. And they're just talking about
maybe he jumped to the conclusion being that she finally admitted, like, I
love you.
Sure.
And he's like, well, if you love me, then what's the problem?
Yeah.
You know?
And she says,
it's not like
research.
You're a virgin.
Exactly.
I mean, he pretty much said that.
She also said she wanted to be as happy in her next marriage as she was in her first. So.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, it's a big jump to go from that to go, I think she wants to sleep.
Well, happy.
I don't think it's a bad idea. I was just saying, whoa. That's bold, though. You have to
it
say.
Was very bold.
I thought it was bold of him to do that, which is great. I think it was terrific.
I just don't even know what to think about that.
Have another glass of wine.
Maybe I should. Yeah. Oh, what a good idea. Some Downton Abbey wine.
She's drinking. Yes, by the way.
I don't know if you've noticed our little
display.
You can't
see, Downton wine. Those of you listening to this rather than viewing it, there's a little display here. We got Downton Abbey wine. We've got a bunch of tea. What else have we
it's
got?
It's Downton Abbey tea. And then we have a whole bunch of English chocolates that my British friends love. And so, oh, look at that. It's a piece of shortbread that just fell. And then we have the violet crumble. Mm-hmm. In honor of Violet.
And I'm not sure if it's the wine or Tony's boldness, but it looks like Courtney was getting the vapors a few seconds.
She was, and so she has her keep calm and carry on little whatever this is.
All right.
Little napkin to keep it cool.
So clearly she likes the idea.
She was excited.
She was excited.
Well, you know, and one of the things that people talked about online was the idea that season one was kind of saucy because we had the Turkish ambassador scandal. And there hasn't been a lot of that in the in between, except for poor Edith, who had enough time with Gregson, but well enough depending on how you want to look at it. And so we're kind of returning to some saucy times. And you know, the 20s were really kind of a liberating, free time for women. They got rid of the corsets, and you know, all that stuff was happening, and they were
was like shaken.
There were
this.
Awakenings in all sorts of ways happening all around the Western world. So this series was going to be, you know, a little more saucy and kind of returning back to how things were in series one.
I also liked that. Okay, so they had to go back to the scene where they were hunting, her talk about she doesn't want to dread the past, she doesn't want to fret the future. What does she worry about the future? I can't remember what she's she doesn't want to regret the past or dread the future or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think this her answer is kind of that she doesn't want to not explore this because she would regret it. Don't you think?
Well, having been married once before and been blissfully happy, I would tend to think someone like Mary, as much as she is a catch and someone who is pursued, you having known, you know, what bliss marriage could be for her, because she was very reluctant to get into it in the first place with Matthew. Yeah. You know, I would imagine she's thinking her odds are bad for having it be fabulous again, right?
Yeah. You most know? People would think that way. It's like it's been perfect once.
I can't do that again.
Yeah. And in that time, of course, like, once you marry him, it's pretty much it. Like, your life is done. You know, like,
she's getting older.
Yeah, so, she's a whole, 3 years older than she was.
No, she's an old lady
12 years
now.
Ago.
Yeah, but, you know,
what is she supposed to be, 30?
Ladies.
Because she was, 18?
She's 30.
So she's, 30?
30.
Yeah, something like that. I knew that earlier 32, today before probably. I had this much wine. So.
Yeah, okay. All right. So, but we like where that's going. But of course, you know, we saw the coming up. We know that Charlie Blake.
Right, we've got Blake coming back.
Comes back with a little attitude.
Yeah, which would be great.
Part.
We had that little love triangle going. Nice. Thank you, Julian, for the love triangle.
I love it. Uh-huh. I love it.
I'm on Gilliam's team right now.
So, but last season, we had a lot of people rooting for Blake.
We did. I think I might have been one of them.
Yeah.
Because I thought Gilliam looked a little weird. But, I mean.
He did. I think I was on Team Blake too.
He was kind of weird looking. He wasn't as attractive as I think we were hoping or expecting.
Yes. We had that conversation.
But something about walking in the room and saying, I'm going to be your lover, just changes it all.
But if you'll remember, isn't it Blake who has, he hid his titleship and his,
right, he did.
That he has a manor and
all that.
But he did that because he wanted to win her fair.
I'm just saying that, you know, now everybody knows that. Yeah. So he's very, and you know, here is Gillingham saying, I think we've established that I've won. Right?
Yeah, again,
that's what he says.
Very bold.
Say that.
But did you see how she was, she
hang
took
on
that
a minute.
Front.
But you know, oh God. Mary, she's quite a little tart, isn't she? Because she's here saying, you know, I love you. I love you in my own
cold
way.
Cold and unfeeling way.
And then I actually didn't notice I was getting ready to go out the door, but in the coming up, the door opens and she's standing there like this, and who, I don't know who is there.
Oh, no, we don't know who's in the
room. I mean, we know. I just don't know. Oh, it was,
I think they showed him. You may have missed it.
So was it Blake or no, was it Gillingham? Gillingham. Okay. And she was very happy, and then Blake shows up. So it's going to be a very interesting, series to find out.
They're going to become lovers, and then suddenly Blake's going to show up, and it's going to be really messy.
Fantastic.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll leave that on
slippery,
the messy note.
Perhaps.
Whoa.
I'm just saying.
Wow.
Oh, wait. That's from Smash.
Yeah. You didn't
we had a whole thing about the couch. Never mind.
Yeah. Let's move on. We're going to go to the Dowager Countess.
That could mean a lot of things.
Because, you know, here's the another.
Slippery situations.
Another, I don't know, her meddlings.
Meddlings, yes.
I mean, here she is trying to get Isabel with Lord Merton. First of all, I thought it was very strange that they're showing the first scene with between the two of them walking amongst the gravestones.
What was that?
Right. Okay, but it was a beautiful shot.
Very,
it was beautifully
nice.
Composed. It was one of those things that I wanted to mention was how lovely the vistas were and the shots were in this episode.
But I'm going, okay, please, is this a little foreshadowing? Why are we here?
She can't
is there a clock ticking in the background? And do we have a guy shoveling? A grave.
Yeah, what was going on here? But it was beautifully shot. It was great. And it was a wonderful scene between the two of them, as they all are.
Yes.
I mean, I love it when those two get together.
She's the best.
Yeah, even the stuff, just like, you know, he's looking for what every man want, and, you know, Isabel goes one way with it, and of course the dowager goes another way. Just no companionship.
I wasn't thinking that.
And the look on Isabel's face.
As I would hope you were thinking.
Yeah.
You dirty-minded.
Everybody getting randy in this thing.
Yes, they are.
So, but, of course, she can't stop there. She's got to have everybody over for luncheon. And she invites Clarkson. First, I think, was the first one was to invite Clarkson and kind of get his take or where that's the status is of their relationship.
Right.
Or if there is one or whatever. Right. And finds out that he's a little bit...
bitter.
Bitter.
Which
hostile. Is why he wanted some cake and Spratt wouldn't serve it to him.
Oh, Jack Spratt the valet.
Okay,
I know that doesn't rhyme, but that was my try. He was hilarious.
Oh my God, how did they get away with that?
Well, I love these servants that are like, you know,
it's
what?
It's beneath them.
It's
I'm
beneath me to serve you.
It's so funny because he's a doctor and
I'm
an arm man. He's like, why is that a bad thing?
Exactly.
But,
maybe we'll learn. Maybe we won't. It was just, it was great humor though.
It was terrific. It was great to keep that humor going in these scenes, which were, you know, without that would have kind of laid a little flat. But
the dowager scolding
him.
Yeah,
for being such a snob.
Of all people to say it, I love it.
I mean,
it.
If you get called a snob by the dowager,
right?
Wow. All right, so she invites him, and he's happy to go. And then, of course, she needs to invite Lady Shackelford. Because
Shackleton.
Excuse me,
Shackleton. Yes,
beg your pardon.
God, the names in this episode are killing me.
So she's bringing ostensibly to cheer up Lord Merton.
Who's a widow?
Who's a widow? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm going, what is the shenanigan
is she
here?
Doing?
She exactly
or
you know,
a widower. He's a widower. Sorry.
He's a widower. Yeah, and of course, you know, Cora, I think hit it on the head. She goes, I don't think the dowager wants her to be a lady or be married to Merton because I think that would get Isabel. You know, there'd be competition there between the dowager.
Right. It would
put them.
And I'm going, well, then why was she trying to do this from the beginning? Or did she not see this coming, the dowager? I mean, come on, she's way ahead usually.
Okay.
Or did I miss it? Because I don't.
Not only is she way ahead, but Isabel is usually way ahead.
Yeah.
And Isabel was having that kind of like knowing look on her face, like she knew Violet was doing something. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. I mean, maybe it really is just there's going to be a duel between the two, you know, matriarchs.
Yeah.
And I, of course, I mean this figuratively, but
no, I like it better than
like
the actual one.
But you know, Violet has her powers, and Isabel has her powers, and they've got this great conflict coming over them. And maybe, you know, maybe Isabel is just tired of being the nice, you know, person who sort of bows down figuratively to Violet. I don't know. What do you guys think? What do you think, John?
I presented it because I was like, I don't
what
get
is
what's
happening?
I'm going, is there a whole nother level to this Machiavellian thing that I don't quite understand? Because I'm
perhaps.
Going, wait a minute. I would think that the dowager would go, wait a minute. I don't want her to marry
him. That's
because
kinda,
she's marrying
puts,
up and it puts,
that puts
Violet's
me
position.
In competition with me. And no, that's not going to happen.
Right.
But then I'm going, okay. And that's why she brought in Lady Shackelford.
Right?
Because...
Or Shackleton.
Shackleton. I'm
whatever
sorry,
her name
getting
is.
It wrong?
I don't know. I can't remember.
It's Shackle-thumb.
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 Okay. All right. So I beg your pardon. I'm sure you'll correct us.
Yes. we're used to it.
Yeah.
But we're not offended.
And I'm going, is she bringing her in to make Isabel jealous?
Jealous?
Or you know, now that it's taken away from you, you want it more?
It
is it,
seems
but that would
way.
Seems but then that's gonna
right, because,
and that's why I'm thinking there must be another thing down the line.
I think there is. But I mean that's what it looked like at the luncheon because
yeah.
they had we've been cheering for Dr. Clarkson and Isabel yeah. to be getting together because they had mm-hmm. so much in common mm-hmm. and Isabel just shut that down.
Yeah, she did.
But then at the luncheon she was sort of longingly gazing at him across the room mm-hmm. when he was being capitalized
and
by
and they do have far more in common,
than the other.
Yes.
Yeah, so maybe, I mean, who knows? I'm not exactly sure.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Marissa. Lady Shackleton.
Shackleton.
Correct.
There Thank
we go.
Thank you so much, Marissa.
So I'm glad they kind of left it in flux for us because it made me go, oh, okay, there's something else
what
that's
else
going
is
on
happening?
Here.
Right. Well, I mean, some of our favorite scenes have been between the two of them
yeah,
with one of them throwing those super polite
barbs,
British jabs
yeah.
at each other. Mm-hmm. We love it. They're yeah. clever. They're funny.
I want them
like,
to be on
vicious.
A competing
Even?
Equal.
Do you really?
Yeah, it's fun.
I like that they're sort of not. Sometimes one's higher than
well,
the other.
Well, that's what I mean.
Like,
they're
always
in flux.
Here. Like I don't
yeah.
want and I like that it's always the social part for one,
yeah.
and it's the intellect for the other
yeah.
one, and
yes.
that's what they're fighting with all the time.
All I care
yes.
about is that
I just
like
want to keep
this
that.
Well, and then you
here.
Know, and then what happens is Isabel got sick, you know, and
yeah.
and Violet took care of her, and that was so you know such a beautiful
all the way
extra element. Beg your pardon. You're right. Thank you. Sorry. And that was, you know, a beautiful kind mm-hmm. of moment that was still fraught with the,
yeah.
you know, the history that the two mm-hmm. of them have. It's a wonderful, complex relationship.
Yes.
And we're adding
yeah.
something like this to
Terrific.
It. It just keeps it going. Mm-hmm. So
and
I think we've got great things coming.
It is. And along that, we'll have Spratt always snubbing Clarkson because
yes.
he didn't serve him coffee later on.
Nope. No coffee,
I think
no
Dr. Clarkson would like some coffee.
It's like, what is the deal here? That cracked me
and
up.
And let's just point out, in every British show, it's always about the tea, and all of a sudden it was about the coffee in
yeah,
this episode.
True.
I'm just saying.
Well, they do drink coffee.
Because even Gilliam asked for coffee when he came in.
He did.
What's that about?
I just need a cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
What?
It's the right time of day for coffee.
It's wrong.
That's
it. So, they're getting Americanized.
Understand.
They were starting to watch
okay.
No, I just,
what's next, John?
Well, let's go right into Thomas and James and Lady Anne.
Strather.
So we learned that, of course, you know, we already knew that where James was a former
James.
Employer.
Yes.
And they, oh, I don't know, shared a relationship in a
they were
time.
They were friendly.
Friendly and traded notes and
yes.
valentines and she was making overtures, I guess. And, you know, Thomas kept telling him, you got to shut this down.
Shut it down.
And if you'll remember, he's ambitious. You know, he's
well,
the guy who...
sort of.
Ambitious in the sense that he likes to make money. But
right,
he also likes to gamble. I don't know that he's ambitious. He wants to do much more with his life.
He just wants to be able to do those things
yeah.
all the time.
Yeah.
By ambitious, I mean, you know, British aristocracy ambitious.
Oh, climbing up that ladder, so to speak?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
We're climbing
right.
Yes, John.
Ladder.
Okay.
That's what we mean.
All right. So the Valentine's and we shut it down. And he says he even called her, but that was a mistake. So that didn't work. And I love, talk about, you know, finagling.
Right.
Lady answer there. Okay. Oh, invite yourself over for tea. And, you know.
My car's
and,
broke
oh,
down.
Good heavens.
My
car broke down.
Exactly.
There's nothing wrong with the car. Oh.
Really? Really?
My chauffeur.
Well, I'm going to go stay at the pub. Mm-hmm. I'm much stronger. What was it?
Yeah.
Fortified or
this? Yeah.
I'm something. I have much more something than you think.
Well, I thought it was also interesting when we first learned that she invited herself over. The one thing that, not Carson, but Lord Grantham says, what does everybody think we're a public house on
yeah.
the North Road? And then when she gets her, she goes, oh, I'm just going to stay at the public house. And he's like, yeah, and it's Cora. It's nonsense.
No!
Stay, that.
Stay in the
no.
princess room.
What? You know, and of course, and then she's, you know, she's catching him alone a little bit, and Carson
yeah.
catches them, and Carson again catches them later when she slips a note in his pocket.
Oh my god,
dirty.
Yes, I mean, wow, she is talk about
she's
hot.
Bold
she's hot
lady
to try
in the 20s,
there.
Apparently.
Yeah, you know,
I can get it now.
And I'm going, wow, he must be really good or something because she's coming all the way over here just
he's
for that.
Really young.
Uh huh.
Mm.
So that's
and,
why
you know,
she marries old men.
That's right. Which and she had a great line about marrying old. What was it? The marrying old.
Oh, right. You have it shortens your sentence.
Yeah, because
yeah. wasn't
get a,
that it?
You get an
Something
early release.
Effect, yeah.
I know, I
the
think
advantage of marrying an older husband is that one gets an
early
release.
Shortens
so,
your sentence.
Yeah.
And,
well, one
same
could
concept.
Say the same for marrying
Can
a young man. Sure. There'd be an early release. No one got that, so we'll move on. So,
sorry, we were boring.
We're listening.
Okay.
We are.
So of
that
course,
was a dirty comment. Is what that
dirty
was.
That's why we're moving on. So. Of course, they end up in bed, and but the, how they get there? Well, how they get there is by the help of Thomas. And, you know, Thomas,
which is weird. Can somebody explain to me the Thomas and Jimmy? And
I think it's, well, first of all, Tammy has a viewpoint on that.
Yeah, but Thomas still is carrying a torch for Jimmy, so he's trying to, you know, ingratiate himself to him because he figures at any second he's going to turn back
exactly.
gay.
The hope springs eternal. I don't know.
No, I mean, I'm being silly. But I do think he's, you know,
I also think there's that. I also he has nobody else that he confides in. There is no other person in there that he is close to at all, and I think that's the only person he has any kind of relationship with that isn't vindictive or manipulative in some way. Even that's manipulative.
I was going to say, is it?
It is, but you know, I think the only reason why he did it is because I've got nothing else. I have no one else in this. I'll help him because I still carry
a torch
for him.
Mm-hmm.
And B, he is a friend, and I want to at least remain in good graces with him because he's the only one I got.
And he can still use that information if it all goes wrong. Mm-hmm.
Well,
right?
And he did learn just because he was up there that Lady Mary isn't such a lady after all. So
not
he did learn
such
that.
A lady after all. But no, I mean, you know, if he's got information on Jimmy and Jimmy ends up being somebody he needs to turn it against, he's the guy. Thomas is the guy who grabs information from wherever he can, especially dirt.
He gets chits here and there.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. He does.
He needs a boyfriend.
He does. So, let's just talk about, since we're finishing it up, how about Lord Grantham?
Okay.
By the way, I'm going, fire. Everybody knows there's a fire. They're screaming fire like crazy. And James and Lady.
Hear it. Hello. Okay.
Yeah, I know. I had to, it's like, mid-peak. Wow, they must be very far away from.
And they're in the room right next to them because
well, it's down
Thomas,
the hall.
But Thomas sees both, he can see both doors from wherever he is.
I know. It's a little down the hall. Yeah. And we just have to believe that
suspension of disbelief once again.
It's a very quiet abbey.
It is. Very well insulated walls.
Yeah. But it was great to see it because the look on his face and just, there's a fire.
Seriously.
I'll see you
there's
downstairs.
A fire.
It was like,
you ain't kidding. There's a fire.
Yeah, that's.
That's what I said. There's a fire. You ain't kidding.
No lie.
Oh, and then she excuses herself.
And then, I think I'll sneak away early. And I think the word is skulk. Not squeak.
I know, but even that, the fact that she has the presence to be able to just say, I think I'll be leaving in the morning. And, and he's polite as ever. I think that's best. Yeah, and they just, but they don't. You can't
walk a shame
about it.
Walk a shame while it's still dark.
Exactly. Yeah. But let's face it. She.
She
got what she wanted. It's done. What's there to stay for?
Well, that's now Jimmy's going to be dismissed, right?
Yes.
Because
well,
that conversation was great between Lord Grantham and Carson.
Yeah,
he's
the
like,
way he said that.
Look, here's the thing. You need to dismiss him. Mm-hmm. Don't make me say why.
Yeah, and he says, it's I think just, I think didn't he even use the term ambitions? The word ambitions. I think his ambitions.
I think he may have better.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And Carson, I don't think he had any problems again.
No,
yeah,
of course not.
I don't
want to
know
No
craziness.
I do not need to know
and
anymore.
I don't have any problem letting him go.
We're on a need to know.
And I'm going, is that really it for James? I mean, are we not going to see him anymore?
I don't know. It's kind of sad.
It is a little bit sad. I mean, they may be thinning the herd a little bit because they have a lot of story and a lot of characters.
True.
So. And, you know, as Mosley kind of goes up in the ranks, so to speak, in terms of his screen time, it's like, you got to do something. You know, we already got rid of Alfred. So where's the footman? You got no footman.
Yeah, right. Well, so, I don't know. Maybe
Mosley's going to
be a footman.
Or we're going to bring in a new character.
Who knows? Could be that. Absolutely. Could
or
be
maybe
that.
Maybe they don't. And
so James, I mean, he may be gone for good. I don't see how they're going to save it.
I don't either.
So he's
I don't either.
Gone for
he's
good.
Not that important.
Well, can we say poor James just because he's gone?
No. We can say bye-bye, James.
Bye-bye, James. All right.
You
tried it. Hashtag bye-bye, James.
All right. So let's talk about Tom.
It's
Tom and Miss Bunting. Because the last series, last year, we had a lot of people at least writing in saying they're not so happy on the Miss Bunting Tom thing. And
there was a huge, there was like, I would say, a smoldering firestorm about
it. Was
people
weird.
Really
it was
didn't like her.
I really don't like her now.
Thank you, Courtney. No, it's great. I love it.
Well, she is the voice of Tom.
Right, he's
several
she's
years
Tom
ago.
Was 4 years
you know,
ago. Yeah,
she's
exactly.
the she's the you know supporting this new Labor government,
yes.
Labor
she's
prime
great.
Minister. She's anti-war. She's everything. thing you believe in, Courtney. Why are you? I don't know.
So
what Courtney
smart
believes
and she's great. And she, when they first, the first scene where they go to the school for her to give out gifts,
the awards, the prizes.
I was like, oh, you look great. This looks. It was just beautiful. She had on a little blue suit, and
yes,
there,
she
and
did.
It was like, she just looked really great, and they had this great little moment together. And then I'm like, you roll up in his house. Yeah, you can't talk. You don't talk to the daddy like
you
that.
You do not like, talk to Lord Grantham like that.
If you are as smart as I think you are, you know better. Like, and it's one of those things.
That's
you have too much
thing
to prove, honey, and I don't.
Yeah,
like
and
you
here's
anymore
the thing I have to ask.
Yes,
because she is smart.
Yes,
and she knows
society.
She says, I wasn't raised. Whatever she said,
right? I didn't make my debut or whatever it was she said.
But you know she's smart, and you know that. Okay, that's not the proper place or time to do that. So I'm going. Wait a minute. She's smart enough not to know. So she's doing this on purpose.
Yes,
why? What is she getting out of this?
That's what's problem.
I'm going. And but for, to what end?
Yes.
I mean, why? That's the part I don't. She has an agenda for somebody. I'm going. Why? Because there's you.
And
no,
even
there's
if
no
you
reason
do,
for it.
Like you have a way you can say your opinions and be whatever without being disrespectful.
Right. You can do it in a more gracious way.
Definitely was more gracious way.
But the thing is she's sitting at a table with some of the most powerful people she's ever had at her.
That we know of, but
right.
Yes. Yeah.
And so, you know, this is, maybe she's thinking this is her one and only opportunity to
voice her opinion to a bunch of people that don't give a crap. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I think she's smarter than
you
that.
Do?
I think
okay.
She did it for, I'm just, you know, suggesting that she's smarter than that. And there must be something else going on here. Because I don't see her as the kind of person that would be dumb enough to do it then. It just seems completely...
But
maybe...
perhaps emotionally wrecked enough to do that.
Because
so, like, whatever her feelings are.
Well, that's true. But there were no cocktails served before dinner.
No,
so we can't blame it
true
on that.
No, we can't.
It wasn't the liquor.
Yeah. Because we learned that. No, not here at Downton. There's no cocktails served. So I'm going, what is that? Why? I mean, because, you know, you're just trying to get... Are you just trying to get a rise out of it? Because I remember in the beginning with Tom, he was kind of... It was just them against me.
Yeah.
Right.
And I kind of understood that more. This one I didn't get. You were invited here. You even knew going in, like, you know, I shouldn't go. She's smart enough to realize I wasn't really invited by Cora.
Right.
Tom didn't invite me, so why I shouldn't... And I wrote a letter saying I was very explicit in my letter. And then you go anyway, and then you do this. And I'm just, this doesn't make any sense to me.
It's rude.
Do you think she just needs to...
Keep calm, carry on. Yes, exactly.
I don't know. Maybe she has a much bigger agenda. Or, I mean, maybe it also may be that Julian Fellowes was reading the same message boards that we were.
Oh, yeah.
And that he needs to, and I'm not trying to, I mean, I'm being funny, but I'm being serious as well. I mean, there may be that they're trying to create that dissonance and that conflict.
I'm sorry, go ahead and I'll tell you my theory.
No,
the theory I came up with is the only reason why I can't. Yeah, let me just interrupt you.
No, it's fine.
The theory I came up with is that, because Tom is still in the netherworld between where am I? Do I fit in here? Do I fit in there?
Yeah.
I think he brought her in and did all this to remind Tom
of
who
his
he
origins.
Is and to help Tom along his search and his arc. And that's what it was for. And it wasn't really for her agenda so much as that's what Julian's using it for, Tom's agenda to remind
I can really
give him
see
some
that.
Sort of direction.
That. Yeah.
I can really see that. But the thing is that Tom does not object to wearing a coat and tails anymore, and for the most part, he has assimilated and become a member of this family.
To some
and there's,
degree.
You know, there are little here's and there's, but and you know, when the car breaks down, they don't hesitate to say, "Oh, Tom can go out and fix it." But
like they don't have another chauffeur.
No,
I know.
Somebody
right?
must have replaced
like Tom.
Right?
Yeah.
But I think that's absolutely a big part of the reason why she's there.
Yeah.
But at the same time, doesn't that completely destroy the idea? Like, she actually represents something that is in the middle also that would actually work for Tom. Because even though he's assimilated, so to speak, he'll never be them.
Right.
True.
So just like he mentioned like last season, like what aristocrat's man is going to let his daughter marry me? Like, I'm still not that, but I can't marry beneath me either. So she sort of was that in between that... is, you know, the intellect and working, but, you know, and it's so disappointing that she sucks. Like, now what?
No, what about her sucks? Just quickly,
just
in a nutshell.
She's obviously an intelligent person with an opinion, which we appreciate, which Isabel appreciated and constantly said repeatedly, which was great, and it was fresh, and it was new, and it's what we want.
Yes.
But at the same time, you still have to have a certain level of respect for what exists. Yeah, because what just I didn't have it here's at
what
all.
I, okay. This is what I wanted.
So there's no finesse with her.
No, this is what I wanted. I wanted to have all that intellectual superiority, or not superiority, yes, but to be able to
challenge. You
know, absolutely, be articulate, all those yep. things. And then when the, if they called her on something, for her to even best them
best
there.
Best them, exactly.
That one, I was like, oh, God, that would have been. And I thought that's where they were going, and then it didn't happen. I went, ouch.
That's why I was disappointed.
So, but maybe they will later. Who knows? I don't know. Maybe. But anyway, okay. So that's enough about that. We got to move on because we still
yeah, we do. We have so, like 15 more storylines to cover.
Well, you know, I normally leave her for last, but I wanted to talk about Edith.
Do you mean hashtag poor, poor Edith?
Many three on that. Poor Edith.
Oh, my God. And, you know, it starts out, I mean, the whole episode starts out with her riding the bike and, you know, going to see Marigold.
Marigold.
This is
That's
our first chance
name.
To see.
Yeah,
this is our
it.
First chance to really see her too.
It's adorable.
And,
so
and just that image, no words. It was just, you know, the way she looks at it, and you, and it just reminded. It just all came back. Oh, that's. Oh my God, that's right. And that's then to see baby. Her as a toddler now, and it's like, oy, oh man,
ouch.
And then of course she goes to visit the Drew family with Tim and is it Marjorie, I believe, and she's playing with Marigold at the. Table and just fawning over
yeah
Marigold.
Doting positively the doting mother mm-hmm.
and Marjorie the whole thing's a little awkward a little bit
you know? Why are you all yeah. up on my kid
exactly you know, and I'm going you really haven't come up with a good enough reason for this yet
no
and again this is I'm going the suspension of this, I'm going come on
you have to,
let's go come on there's gotta yeah. be some reason right
yeah, and she's been doing this for 2 years yeah and nobody like
yeah and you know yeah, and, no. and Marjorie saying you know like we hardly remember that she's not our own and I was like
that which
you
has
haven't
to
had
be
conversation
like
yet?
A knife to the yeah. heart for Edith
yeah
but Tim was great and how he handled this whole thing
Tim
so far.
Drew the,
yeah
the
he's
farmer.
Always been talk
by
about
the way just like just side note handsome
he is cute in his yeah, little farmer uh-huh. uniform
oh, well, oh and, right. right and the local firefighter
yeah they were hot so way back when
beyond that
yeah I know
one of the most noble saying. Of characters we have in this particular
indeed
yeah
all the people we've seen
he
whatever
has
your station is
that secret kept the secret even from Edith
yeah, yeah until yep. he finally
like we only learned today yeah. when we see this episode that he has known from the very beginning
all
and I think that was kind of evident when he was making the agreement.
But again, but noble enough not to say anything
right.
and not to put her and, right. and to put her at ease because look, I'm not in a position to judge, and I wouldn't even if I could.
Mm-hmm.
And saying things, great things like that. That's what a mother should do. I mean, oh trying God. As best he can to help her out in a horrible situation.
Horrible situation.
Yeah.
And I the whole time I'm going, give me more of this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was good stuff.
He was good stuff. And, you know, even when his wife's saying, look, she's, what is it, taking
she's
a fancy
to you?
She's got a crush
you.
On you, whatever the line was. And, you know, and then of course, they meet up at the school when they're giving out the awards and say, look, we can't talk here. We have to have the private. Yeah, and they meet in that, well, I don't know where that building was. But it was a great building, that empty building, that big, huge, I don't know what the heck
I don't
was.
Know. I don't know either.
It was another great, it's like great location. Mm-hmm. Jesus. And it, with the, you know, of course, they had to meet where it was empty, but it was huge. It was empty. It just, it spoke
the
a lot
emptiness.
Of, yeah, the emptiness. That's what I was going with that. But yeah, it's good, nice choice. And they come up with some plan. We don't know what the plan is yet, but they have to come up with a way to tell the truth without you
we
telling.
Need,
to live
exactly.
the truth without
live the truth
telling
without telling the truth.
And I'm going, wow, geez, this guy's great. What's, yeah. I wonder what he's coming up with. I don't have any idea what it is. You guys have any kind of...
I can't imagine anything other yeah. than like somehow she decides to like educate the child,
a god
like,
child, a godparent,
like
like, something like that. That's what I was thinking.
Maybe she will
is
save her like from something,
or
and,
she's
like, going to
be her
forever.
Patron or something. I don't know what it
right.
is.
Right. Well, his words were, "You are going to take a great interest
right.
in Marigold." I mean, I could very. Oh, here we go. Okay, uh-oh. I come up with some harebrained ones. Okay, stick with me
all
on
right.
this.
Buckle up, people.
What's his wife's name?
Marjorie.
Marjorie.
Poor Marjorie dies. Mm-hmm. Mm. Happened all the time back then.
Wow.
He's now. I'm not saying he's like going to kill her.
No,
I'm not saying
that's not
that.
Part of his
okay.
plan.
No, 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 no. Because he's yeah. noble,
of course.
But you know, or poor Marjorie
yeah.
takes ill, or they have some. Okay, let's make it a little more realistic. They have a financial hardship,
mm-hmm.
and in fact, this happened in my very own family, where you know the mother
yeah.
they adopted the youngest child out.
Oh, okay.
It used to happen all the time. I know so many people who've had this happen to their families in like the early 1900s.
Because they already have three or four children.
Exactly. They've got so many children, and the children are a little bit older. The youngest one is so hard to take care of, and they're adopted out into another family.
Interesting.
And so I could very easily see that happen. So Edith becomes the adoptive mother of little Marigold. Bam, she gets to be her mom.
Her adopted mom.
To be her mother to anybody who asks.
See that happening.
Okay. Great.
Okay.
Great.
So whatever that's my prediction. That's I know some of you don't like our predictions, but that's part of what we do.
That's a good one.
All right. We're going to move on to this because we just want to talk quickly about the Carson delegation.
We still have so much to go on.
I know. We only have a few minutes because we got to get news.
I have news.
But before we get to news, we want to talk to the delegation because this was also that continuing storyline that Julian has peppered throughout the series. About how the encroachment of the new way, because here we have a delegation coming to the manor of the abbey, and we're thinking that they're going to ask Lord Grantham to be the chairman. And of course, they're not interested in him except for the land. And they pick Carson to be in. Look at Carson is stunned, insulted almost. Like, what? Don't you mean Lord Grantham? He has no interest in it in the beginning.
Right.
And I thought that was great.
Well, and even before that, Carson talks about the new prime minister and saying, I feel a shaking in the very ground I stand on. Mm-hmm. You know, so living in earthquake country, we understand the feeling that your foundation and everything that you have based all of your, ideals and beliefs upon are changing. And then, all these outside forces are coming in and
imposing a new thought, a new idea.
And enforcing that and saying, you're right. And it's not going to be like it was.
And it was carried through in the scene with he and Mary at the fireside and him talking about, would this have ever happened to my grandfather? And she, of course, said, we're not living your grandfather. So they're just keeping that thing going, which is great. I love it when they do it to remind us, because he I think he knows clearly that he's on borrowed time.
And Carson?
Carson's going to hang.
Lord Grantham.
Grantham knows, and he's trying like crazy to hang on.
Yeah.
And it's harder for him to evolve and to move into this new way of thinking and everything, of course. But I just like that they keep it going. And even Carson says, he finally agrees to it, but only if you make him patron. So Carson is not going.
He is not happy.
He does not like this at all, of course. I'm kicking and screaming.
That's a great solution.
Exactly. It's a terrific solution.
That's the smart version of what Dummy Bunton wouldn't do.
Yeah.
He recognized that, like, this will never be comfortable.
Okay,
like, it'll never work out.
I forgot to mark when it happened. Now, did he, because he said all this at dinner with Dummy Bunton. But had he already done this, or did he say this and then go out and do it? Because I can't remember the.
What are you talking about? Did he accept?
He said at dinner, that, because she makes this comment to Lord Bunting, said to me, Grantham,
that
she
says. I really hated her.
She says, well, you should have been, it's too bad that you didn't get to join the delegation because you're making a great argument for them. Mm-hmm. And there's dead silence at the dinner, and finally Carson says, well, he is actually. And I can't remember if he went and had that done before the dinner, or was it after? And I just didn't clear it on my notes. Either way, it was Carson's idea. I just liked it, and it would have worked either way for me. It doesn't matter. But it would be just the idea that he had said it, and then now I'm going to go make it happen. Or if he said, no, I'm going to do it. But whatever. But anyway, I just like that he did it.
Yeah.
Because he not only wants to acknowledge Lord Grantham, but he wants to keep that whole thing alive.
Okay. Absolutely. They, as they say, they know where their bread is buttered.
That's right.
And they care about each other. They genuinely do. These people have been together for years and years. Right. So.
All right. We have to say one thing about the Daisy storyline just because we don't want to forget her, and then we'll get to news. But the whole thing about her wanting to improve her station and doesn't want to be a pig ignorant fool.
Or a kipper.
Brain of the kipper.
Great lines. We didn't even get into lines.
Favorite lines of
Go
the
ahead.
Night.
Why don't we do favorite lines of
My
the night?
My favorite line of the night, of course, what came from Grandmama saying, principles are like prayers. Yeah. Noble, of course, but awkward at a party.
I'm going to go with that one as well. I will double that because that was on my list. Demi, did you have any?
I feel a shaking of the ground I stand on.
Okay.
I just thought that was a powerful one. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So let's get into news.
Oh. AfterBuzz TV News. Okay, people, are you ready for some news?
All right.
All right. We're going back a little bit because things have been happening over the nine stinking months since we've seen a show. August 15th, there was a promotional picture sent out that caused an online sensation when a sharp-eyed fan of the show noticed a very modern plastic bottle of water on the mantelpiece behind Hugh Bonneville and Laura Carmichael. You probably saw it.
Now, this was an official promo.
There's a water bottle right there.
Oops.
And it was hilarious because it just went crazy viral, and people probably know about it.
And now I'm wondering, who was the smart person that put the bottle there?
No, because, I can't tell you how many times I was getting ready. We're going live for TV, and somebody goes, sticks their arm in, grabs a bottle, and, throws it across the set. I've seen it happen so many times. One fan, Diana Pearl, offered a possible solution, tweeting, obviously the Crawley family invented the water bottle, and that's how they were able to support the estate.
There you go.
So afterwards, the cast responded by poking fun at themselves and posed with a picture that they posted with all of the cast and crew holding water bottles. Nice. And the ITV spokesman said, after seeing the reaction the picture caused earlier this week, the cast and crew came up with the idea of turning some of this attention towards an issue around water that really matters. They hope that by posing for this picture, they will be able to raise awareness and amplify the work of the international charity Water Aid.
Okay.
So, you know.
Make it positive.
Making lemonade out of lemons.
We got any more?
Are you kidding? I've got so many.
We've
got
to get to shout outs too.
Okay, I'm going
to
skip rating. I'll skip ratings. The ratings were low. Okay, Laura Carmichael, who plays the character Edith, poor Edith Crawley, was at the center of the fire story this week. She, when asked about filming those scenes, she said, it was such fun, such a weird day to have a lot of stuntmen and six firemen. It was one of those exhilarating, thrill seeking things where you know you're safe, but it feels quite dangerous. Okay. She also said that working with Robert James Collier, who plays Thomas, apparently he's quite funny, he said that he was carrying her out, and he did so many takes he'd have to rest his arms while he was holding her, and she goes, that makes a girl feel great. In a related story, she also revealed some details about George Clooney's upcoming appearance on the show. In case you missed it, Vanity Fair reported that Mr. Clooney would appear on Downton Abbey this series, sort of. And I tweeted this out when it happened. The Oscar winner George has a role specially created for Downton Abbey, and it's actually a sketch. I think it's got a little bit of comedy in it, to be aired on ITV in their charity appeal for Text Santa later this year. Okay. In this sketch, he will PSA. Be seen planting a kiss on Dame Maggie Smith.
Oh, nice. Yes.
Okay, Laura Carmichael says that the cast was unsure about whether he would actually be there and actually he would take part, except one day, all of a sudden, he's here. Starts happening all over the set. She said it was crazy. And there's this very brilliant moment with Maggie and George, and I don't know if I want to give any more away, but Maggie does a comedy fall. George plants his kiss, and Maggie ends up on the floor. It's wonderful. He is hilarious.
All right, what are they calling him?
Lord Cloonington. Okay, Lily James, who plays Lady Rose, has confirmed that she will be starring in the BBC's upcoming adaptation of War and Peace, which is written by Andrew Davies, who wrote Pride and Prejudice and House of Cards. There are other things about her, which we'll tell you maybe next week. Okay, quick shout-outs. From the Facebook page, Ian Armstrong, hey, thanks for asking about us. From Twitter, Melanie Watson, I'll put out your pictures soon. Mara Joy Vicente, yes. Anne Marie, Jonathan Lansana, Linz, and SF Singer from YouTube. Thank you for hashtagging for poor Edith, yay. And we'll give you more news next time.
That's right. Thank you
we've got so
keeping
much
up
going
with us
on.
And keeping us honest. Let us know your thoughts, your theories.
You know how to find us. Absolutely. Facebook. You can find me at Tamara Berg on Twitter.
Stuart Starlet.
There you go.
John, you can find it at Home
you
Depot.
Can find me.
Okay, but do we have predictions now?
No, that's not. We don't have time for predictions.
Come on, we don't.
Well, we already got the best one of the episode.
You just had the great one.
Oh, you're right. I did do my big.
We do have time. They give us time for predictions.
Okay,
I have none.
I'm telling you, it's the Marjorie thing. There's going to be a hardship in the Drew family.
So
whether it's manufactured, it's going to be manufactured.
They're going to adopt Marigold out, and
to
Edith is going to be the adopted mother.
Indeed. I still want to know what's going on with Gregson, though.
I want to know what's going on with Baxter.
And Baxter. Yeah.
But we'll find that out. But I think Gregson will come back this season.
Do you?
I do this
he
series.
Do you know show. Something we don't
no,
know?
I know nothing. I'm just saying. I
well,
just think he's going to come
like
back.
Secret? Like, we would know on the rumor mill. That
I think
was...
what's going to happen, this is classic poor Edith.
Think he's gonna be dead?
I think she may find somebody where she starts to
she's
fall for them again.
And, he's
and
show
as
back
soon
up.
As that happens, Gregson's coming back.
Because that would be the poor, poor Edith
that's
way.
Right.
Yeah. So there you go.
There
all right.
Go.
No, she'll need to be pregnant with this other man.
Pregnant with the other man's baby.
Baby.
Adopted her own
right.
baby. And
living a blissful life.
Okay.
And then Gregson shows back up
okay,
with like a swastika on his arm and ready
that's for
World War II.
For World War II.
Because that would be horrible.
Sorry we were rushing. We had so much to cover. We want
thanks
to thank
for sticking
you
with us, you guys. Thank you.
Thank
you so much.
Tune in next week. It's a pleasure to be back and thanks for listening. Woo-hoo. We'll talk to you next time.
See ya.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
Cup of tea.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.